James chapter 4, verses 1 to 12.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that the Spirit be caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbour?
Please leave your Bibles open there at James chapter 4. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray now as we approach these challenging words that you would convict our hearts, that we would hear from your Spirit this morning, working in each of us, Lord, challenging us of the things that we need to let go of in order to glorify you, challenging us about our love for you and our desire to serve you. And we pray that you would soften our hearts so that we might hear the hard things we're going to be discussing, Lord, that we might hear them, Lord, and that we might, through your Spirit, react to them in a way that brings you glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I was working outside on our family car at the time, and I heard the phone ring. And Tamara answered the phone, and then she signaled to me to come and take the call. And as I picked up the phone, I knew who it was immediately. It was somebody who was very close to me, somebody who had been a very big part of my life. But by the end of that conversation, we wouldn't talk for years. This person was someone that I'd looked up to all my life, someone who I'd always felt like he had it all together. During that phone call, this person told me about some decisions they'd made, which were really bad decisions, decisions that had caused a lot of damage and pain. But the way I received the news that day was far from godly. At the time, Tamara and I had only just been married. We were still pretty young. We were in our early 20s. And both of us had grown up going to churches, but never really understood the good news of Jesus. In the churches we grew up in, you would hear the pastor telling you, you shouldn't do this, you should do this all the time. But we rarely heard clearly about what Jesus had done for us. We knew how to be great little Pharisees. We knew how to do all of the right things to make people feel like we were Christians. But we'd never really grasped the depth and the seriousness of our guilt before our holy God. We believed in God. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. We even believe that Jesus was the only way of salvation. Our theology was correct. But because we hadn't actually grasped that we were sinners, that we were guilty, our outward piety, my outward piety, had caused me to react very poorly to this loved one who had fallen, who had sinned. It led me to be anything but gracious to this person who had let me down. Fast forward a number of years, and Tamara and I were sitting under the preaching of a faithful, a little bit wordy, but faithful preacher who was very clear about the difference between God's law, what we do, and God's grace, what God has done for us. And as he preached God's word to us, and as we searched the scriptures for ourselves, we started to see that our confidence had been misplaced. We started to understand how serious our sin was, and it was honestly absolutely crushing. It was hard to hear how guilty we were. We are. Even though we thought we'd done all of the right things, even from our youth. But once God's Spirit revealed our sin and how much it had cost God to redeem us, to save us from that sin, our whole perspective changed. It enabled us to forgive those who had hurt us because we knew how much it had cost God to forgive us. It enabled me to forgive that person that I hadn't spoken to for years and to go to them and say how sorry I was for judging them and for not being there for them when they needed me. How much we love the Lord has a direct bearing on our ability to love those around us. If we are living as those who have been forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us, putting aside everything we do, then it is so much easier to show God's grace to those around us. One of the images that the Bible shares with us is of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her perfume, expensive perfume, incredibly costly, and dried his feet with her hair. And Jesus explains those actions by saying, those who have been forgiven much will love much. But if we are holding on to our pride, if we've taken on the earthly wisdom of this age, if we've become caught up in the things of this life, distracted from what Jesus has done for us, then we can easily start to take matters into our own hands when we get offended or hurt by someone. How much we love God has a direct bearing on our ability to love those around us. Now, today's passage is not one that you'd pick if you're looking for a nice, easy passage to preach on, because no one, I certainly don't, likes talking about conflict, especially amongst those who have been saved by Jesus' work on the cross. But as James shows how fights and quarrels get started, he is showing us that the choices we make when someone has hurt us or offended us reveals how much we love the Lord. So in verses 1 to 3, James warns that fights and quarrels take place when what we want becomes more important to us than glorifying the Lord. When what we want becomes more important to us than glorifying the Lord. I'm going to read those verses, verses 1 to 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. In these verses, James is highlighting the fact that fights and quarrels come from a problem that first starts in our hearts. Usually when there's a disagreement or an argument, one party will start to blame the other. It's always the other person's fault. But what James is saying here is that if there's a disagreement between two believers and you aren't the one seeking reconciliation, trying to work through the problem and establish peace within the body of Christ, then you, not the other person, have a heart problem. One that's caused you to make your own desires, whatever they are, more important than worshipping and glorifying the Lord. Now, let's hit a lot closer to home. Let's think about some examples of things that actually cause conflicts and have caused conflicts in this congregation. Now, not too long ago, one of the big hot topics that caused conflict in this church and also in most churches was COVID restrictions. Now, I'm not going to come down on either side of that conversation. There were lots of mistakes made on both sides. Some wanted everyone to be locked down as long as possible in order to protect the weak and the vulnerable. Others, well, they believe that we need to open up as soon as possible to care for people's mental health and to protect their livelihoods. Both had really good intentions, but both inadvertently caused a lot of hardships, a lot of conflict. And sadly, these two different interpretations of the same thing cause tension and hurt feelings within the body of Christ. Because as individuals, we wanted our position, whichever one it was, to be validated more than we wanted to honor and glorify God. Or as James puts it, it was our own evil desires that caused us to take offense when people expressed opinions that we disagreed with, because we wanted our position to be validated more than we wanted God to get the glory in this awkward and difficult situation. Let's drill down even deeper. Another one that causes a lot of conflict from time to time here and in most Baptist churches is the dreaded safe church policies and requirements. There will always be some who believe that these policies go too far, that the bar's too high, there's too many hoops to jump through, all of those things. And there'll always be those who believe that this is a God-given support designed to protect and encourage unity and safety within the congregation. There'll always be those two sides. But how we engage with that conversation, how we react when we feel either of those feelings, shows how much we are willing to glorify the Lord. Regardless of whatever position we take, if we're making life hard for those who are charged with implementing those policies, being unwilling to comply or by being hard to get on with, then whether we're right or not, whether we have a valid point or not, we're putting our own desires over and above unity within the body of Christ, over and above bringing God the glory in his church. And so James is challenging us here in verses 1 to 3. He is warning us not to let our own desires get in the way of honoring and serving the Lord. Verses 4 to 6, James warns that fights and quarrels take place when we love the things of this world more than we love God. I'm going to read those verses. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us. But he gives more grace. He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. What James is saying is that conflict, arguing, quarreling is always rooted in adultery. Or I'll say it another way. Conflict occurs when we love the things of this life more than we love God. We love how it feels when people take our opinions very seriously. We love how it feels when people around us respect us and value us and listen to us. And we often love these things more than we love God. And you might be thinking to yourself, I don't love those things more than I love God. But if you've ever argued with a fellow believer and been unwilling to see things their way and to work towards reconciliation, if you've ever held on to a grudge or still are holding on to a grudge, then you are making those hurt feelings more important than loving and worshiping the Lord. A grudge is an idol. And as long as we hold on to that idol, we'll damage our relationship with the Lord and we'll damage our relationship with those around us. That's why James addresses, these are believers he's addressing, and he addresses them as adulterous people. The picture James is painting here is of a spouse who has been unfaithful to their husband. The biblical imagery that is often used of the church is the bride of Christ. And James is calling out an unfaithful bride here. When quarrels and fights take a place amongst us, we are looking elsewhere to have our needs met apart from our husband, apart from Christ, rather than going to him for everything we need. And whenever we do this, it is because we have started to love the things of this world more than we love God. Verses 7 to 12, James warns that fights and quarrels take place amongst us when we take matters into our own hands instead of trusting God. Verses 7 to 10, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. When we're feeling the weight of our sin and realize that we can do nothing to please God in our own strength, when we realize that we are completely dependent on the mercies of Christ, it is extremely hard to hold on to a grudge against another believer in Christ, someone that Christ has died for. I told the story at the beginning of this message of how God's mercy helped me to be able to forgive someone who had really hurt me. And what kept going through my mind as I went through the difficult conversation of getting back in contact with that person was, how can I hold this thing over this person when the guilt of my sins cost God his one and only Son? We're depending on God's mercy and living in the light of the hope that we have in Jesus. There won't be arguments and fights amongst us. Of course, there'll be disagreements from time to time, but they won't turn into fights and quarrels and grudges because we will remember how much we have been forgiven And that will make it not only possible for us to forgive, but it will make it very important to us to forgive. Sadly, we won't always remember. We won't always remember how much Jesus has done for us. We won't always be willing to submit our desires over to him. And so James is encouraging us in these verses to do just that, to submit our will to the Lord, to resist the devil as he tries to get us to take offense and to draw near to God so that his love would soften our hearts towards those that we struggle with at times. We're not the judge of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are fellow servants who will one day also be judged by the King of Kings. And so we must be careful not to take matters into our own hands to defend our own honor and glory. Because if we don't want to one day face God's judgment for judging our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we need to humbly submit to the Lord and trust that he will provide for all of our needs. In these verses, James has been warning those who trust in the Lord how much we love God has a direct bearing on our ability to love those around us. What's often referred to as the royal law, the two greatest commands, as Jesus put it, is for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We can't love each other the way that God has called us to love each other unless we first have a deep love for the one who gave his life up for us. That is how we love each other, through our love for Christ. But we also can't love God the way he deserves to be loved unless we are loving each other, unless we are loving those that Christ died for. And so if we are going to give God the glory and the honor that he deserves, we are going to love him more than we love the things of this life. And if we are going to trust him for all of our needs instead of taking matters into our own hands, we first need to turn to Jesus, to fix our eyes on him, and to reflect on his saving work for us. We're going to trust him for all of our needs. We're going to have to let go of those grudges, those offenses that have happened in the past. We're going to have to treat each other with the same kind of mercy that Jesus has treated each one of us. And we're going to have to love God more than we love being right and more than we love getting our own way. Because how we treat each other when we find ourselves disagree shows how much we love the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, these are really challenging words. We've all been in situations, Lord, where our feelings have been, we've been deeply hurt by something that someone said, even someone dear to us, Lord, even brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us put those hurt feelings aside. Help us to seek your glory and your honor more than ours. Help us to show the same kind of love that you showed us through your Son to those around us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.